Welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe show. Judy Riddle in here for Chase McCabe on this Monday, Titans Victory Monday. We're now joined by Jonathan Hutton from Outkicks, Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, I missed you yesterday in the press box, man. Where were you at?
Man, Junie, I have chronic sinus issues, and sometimes I wake up and can't breathe. Big Joe calls that sleep apnea, and I just call it sinus issues.
I'm glad you have chronic something else, so I'm glad that it's just...
I have a lot of chronic issues. Yes, you're right, Joe.
Good.
Either way, Jonathan, a big win in overtime for the Tennessee Titans going up against Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. What were your takeaways from the game and the bounce back that Ryan Tannehill had?
Look, I thought that was the storyline of the game, the bounce back. That's also a bounce back, I thought, for Tim Kelly as the play caller. But Ryan Tannehill, digging up some numbers, Junie, on the play action and watching this game. Look, that is the best completion percentage, the most accurate version of Ryan Tannehill we have seen since he became a Tennessee Titan. That's the most accurate he's been in any game in his career where he's had 20 or more attempts in a game. He was very good, and this was after they gained a total of 3 yards on their first three possessions, and they had more penalty yards than total yards with 8 minutes and 15 seconds to play in the second quarter. And the difference this week versus last week is play action. They got the run game going. The Chargers had to step up and respect the run, both running backs, by the way. And last week, 8 days ago, he is leading the NFL with 8 passes that were incomplete on first down. And yesterday, we saw Ryan Tannehill, who was 10 of 11 passing on first down for 197 yards. And the play action game was really good. He had over 100 yards passing off of play action. That is his game. And when the defense must respect the run, and even if he's taking hits and taking shots and getting knocked around, I thought he stood in there and delivered the football very well. And he had some receivers step up and make some plays. But the 70-yard pass to Burks, we just might look back on that if the Titans end up winning the division. We may look back on that and say, hey, play of the year contender because of what it meant and when it happened. And what it served for the Titans getting back in that game down double digits at the time. It was a big moment for Ryan Tannehill, and he delivered.
I completely agree with you on the Treylon Burks play. I mean, at that moment in time, I know you just said that, you know, they had more penalty yardage than they did actual yardage on offense. Yeah. At that time, they had negative 16 passing yards midway through the second quarter. When they made that 70-yard play to Burks, I said – that could have been a season-altering play for this entire team because they could get nothing going. And I think the importance about that play was getting Treylon Burks going because when I went back and watched the All-22 film of the Saints game in Week 1, there were many opportunities missed to get Treylon Burks involved, and I feel like he's an X factor. Do you agree with that, and do you think that Treylon Burks getting that pass could really kind of get this offense moving going forward for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, it's got to get going, you know, and Chris Moore, Keith Bullock last night on Channel 5, he's showing the highlight and going through some tape. You mentioned All-22. He's like, hey, let's put some respect on his name. Cause I was complaining about the fact they're throwing deep to him last week when they had a Conquo open in the same part of the field. And it ended up being an interception. I'm with you, though, on Burks. He's got to be one of the guys. Not when I say the, it's in all caps, the guys. And he was on that play, the longest play of his career, and it was a perfect throw from Tannehill. And props to Burks of getting behind his man and what was a mass protect, and the Titans came out and did their job on that possession. That is a massive drive and a massive answer coming off of what was a 11-point deficit at the time.
We're talking to our good friend Jonathan Hutton this morning on 102.5 The Game. And Hutton, you know, I love putting Spears and Henry in the backfield. It kind of reminds me, in a weird way, of Lindell White and Chris Johnson. Not the same, but they're both two different running backs. If you didn't watch out, one could get you while they're both in the game. And I just thought putting both of them in the game, it's like, who's going to get it? Who's going to get it? A great job of mixing and matching. And I think they go the season and having that kind of success could turn out to be very nice for this offense.
Joe, the Titans have utilized two running backs in a competitive game, meaning not lopsided one way or the other, just twice since 2019 to the level that we saw yesterday, where Henry was the bell cow. Henry's getting the mass production out of the backfield, but to a point where we saw two backs with eight or more carries. We saw two backs with at least two or more catches, and both produced 50 yards of total offense. That, to me, it showed not just Tim Kelly, but there was an intent and a purpose to how those guys were being used. I couldn't tell you that a week ago. We talked about this last Monday. It was just kind of a head scratcher. And yesterday was not. They were on the field. The balls were in their hands. And I think from that perspective, that can be Junie mentioned Burks. Absolutely, those guys should be used in the passing game on how this offense is built. And in many ways, it's a great protection for Tannehill, and I think he utilizes them well. And hey, that Spears, we're just seeing the beginning of how they're going to utilize him and unveil him in this offense, because it was evident from the first offseason OTA or minicamp one that I attended, he was involved, you know, non-padded practice. He's getting the football with the first team. First practice of training camp, he's getting the football. They have things for him, and I think we're slowly seeing the rollout.
I totally agree. And also, like, you know, when every time they show Henry come out of the game, you know good and well, Jonathan, that the defense kind of relaxes a little bit when Henry goes out. Yeah. But now you got Spears in there. It's like, all right, we got Spears in here. That's why I say keep Henry. Even if he's a decoy, keep him in the game, because you never know. And that still keeps the defense kind of like, oh, what's going to happen here? When he comes out of the game, they just like, all right, we know now Spears going to get, I have to worry about Henry. I know, but I just think Tim Kelly does a lot of credit yesterday for that offense, the play calling and the formations, which should not go unnoticed. But I'm going to get your thoughts real quick, Jonathan, on Tannehill. I mean, he played great, but he's got to throw the ball away on those sacks, right?
Yeah, well, some of them. Some of them. Because, look, on first and second down, they were having – even on the first three possessions we're going to discuss here, right? They were having success on first and second down, and then they were taking the sacks on third that ended drives. First three drives ended in a sack. So, yes. Did I watch a game where I'm like, yeah, that's – get rid of it? Yes. I also saw other instances where, especially in the second half, he stood in the pocket and delivered the football and then took the hit as well. And here's where I'm conflicted on saying just throw it away. Because all of last year, Joe, the Titans scored two touchdowns in the second half. Two times? It's happened two times since the start of last year, maybe once. No, it happened twice, actually. They scored fourth quarter touchdowns three times. In one of the games, they scored two in the fourth. So it really happened in two games. Three touchdowns total all of last year in the fourth quarter. And we saw Tannehill stand in and deliver, score two, and then, of course, lead the game-winning drive that set up the field goal in overtime. And they put up 27 points. That ties the high that we saw on the scoreboard last year of any game. And they did it against the Chargers, who are known for scoring 27, but they also allow about that amount. So in this instance, I can't complain too much about the sacks he took, given the fact that we saw a really good version of his production.
Last one for you here, Jonathan, and that has to be the play that Harold Landry made to force overtime, that third and three inside the five, as the Chargers were looking to go for the win. What does that do for a guy like Harold Landry, who missed all season last year because he tore his ACL in camp, making a big play like that early on in the season?
It is – I mean, first off, it's already a top-tier defensive front with average Harold Landry. Arden Key and Landry off the edge, and you pair that with the other pieces that they have, that are either the elite caliber or so good, such good role players. And I'm not knocking them by saying that, but they step up in the moment when it's their turn for the role. It's not just Landry, but it's huge because we saw the 12 sack season that he had, and then he missed the year. Here's where I think the key is for why this Titans defense is going to keep this team in games. You cannot run the football on them. Right now, it's a defense that allows 2.7 yards per carry through 2 weeks. They allow 65 yards on the ground on average through 2 weeks. That ground, the rushing defense allows them to get after the passer on third down, and they have 7 sacks to begin the year. I thought the other part of this, and you're right to bring up Landry in that moment because it forces them to settle for the field goal. The other part of the key to the game was the third down defense, because Vrabel actually harped on that in one of the answers to the media last week, where they in their first game against Miami, they actually played really well, where they offensively they faced, I believe, a lot of third and ones, third and twos, third and shorts. And in this case, they converted only 2 third downs because there were several situations where the pass rush of the defensive front was collapsing the interior. And Herbert's throwing off of not just one back foot, but 2 back feet in some cases. I mean, he was uncomfortable. And facing that front makes you uncomfortable, even with a depleted secondary. And it allows guys to cover a bit longer, or receivers to have to work that much harder because the pocket is collapsing at such a quick rate. It's an outstanding group. That front 7 is elite. And this is a top 5, top 3 defense in the National Football League if all stays the same. We'll see the retention, right? The war of not the retention, the war of attrition, rather, on injuries. But this is a group that rotates in and out very well, and their top players perform at a very high rate on a routine basis.
Titans go and take on the Browns next week. You think the coaches right now are, with that offensive line the Titans have, are trying to figure out a way to stop Myles Garrett next Sunday?
Yeah, even with a stout offensive line, you're trying to figure that out, right? Like, this is a great Browns defense. I know it's been one game. They fired their defensive coordinator in Woods. They brought in Jim Schwartz. And it's a totally different style of how they're playing. Wide 9, they're going to let Myles Garrett get to work, but they've got a nice front. Then they've added other pieces to that group. The high ceiling, low floor was talked about a lot with Anthony Richardson in the draft. That's how I describe this Cleveland Browns team this year. They can win the Super Bowl with this roster. They could also fail miserably based on expectations and money allocated to the quarterback and everyone else around them. They're a team that no one's talked about that can catch fire and be really good. And we'll find out tonight whenever they're playing later against the Steelers.
Jonathan Hutton from Outkick Hot Mics. Hutton and Withrow, you can hear them on 94.9 The Fan from 2 to 5, Monday through Friday on afternoons on 94.9 The Fan. Hutton, as always, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Junie, great to hear from you. Big Joe, always. And Chase, thinking about you today, man. Hope things are well.
Absolutely. Again, Jonathan Hutton, appreciate you taking the time. Coming up next, though, we are going to put a bow on things here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Preview a little bit of Monday Night Football and our final takeaways from a Titans victory Monday. You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show with Junie Riddle today here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.